This is Michelle, and welcome to Raising Your Consciousness. This is a space to raise your consciousness and reach your full spiritual potential. And that's through spiritual, esoteric, and even magical practices. This is a space to bring happiness and meaning back into your life. Let's get started.
So welcome, everyone. My name is Michelle Thompson, and this is my co-host, Alicia Wish. And today we are going to be talking about the dark night of the soul and how do you get into the light of empowerment? This is such a powerful, really profound subject that both of us are extremely passionate about. And we're passionate about it because it's happened to both of us. Both of us fairly recently. Oh my God. And I just had personally just this really uplifting experience that really kind of really like did just kind of broke the final straw. You know what I mean? It was just like, whoa, I'm feeling really good. And I'm excited about you guys hearing us talk about our stories and how to get through this. So I'm going to introduce my co-host here, my lovely, beautiful Alicia Wish. We are live on YouTube and we're live in my Limitless You group and in Alicia's Pampered and Happy or Happy and Pampered. How's it go?
Happy and Pampered community.
We wanted to gift you with some love today and kind of talk about this interesting subject. So a lot of people, you know, are wondering, what exactly does that mean? The dark night of the soul is like when you are really in a space where it feels like you can't really get out of it, or you don't know how to overcome it, or you're experiencing challenge after challenge after challenge. And the reason it's called the dark night of the soul is because it's about your soul overcoming these problems. And we're going to take this from a very spiritual perspective, more so than, you know, a mindset perspective. And a lot of you guys know me as mindset coach, but I'm also a spiritual teacher. Alicia has been a long-term friend and client, and she recently went through something and she called me up and she said, help. And the very first thing I said to her was, you need to remember who you are.
You even clapped at me?
Yes. I was like, remember who you are. Yep. Because what happens
that was powerful, though.
When we start going through these challenges, we forget. We forget how powerful we are. We forget how amazing we are. We forget all of our accomplishments. We forget everything that we've overcome. And all of a sudden, it's like this veil comes over us and we don't remember anymore. You know, I'd like you to actually talk about what that feels like for you. I can talk about what it feels like for me too, but I'm sure it's very similar. But, you know, like when you were going through your dark walk, what did it feel like?
First word that comes to mind is petrifying. Mm-hmm. For me, it was, I had, let's call it a fall from grace, where I found myself in a situation where I just felt like I couldn't show up for anybody in my life, whether it was people in real life, my husband, my parents, you know, things like that, or even, you know, being somebody who's worked on social media for a long time, like I couldn't be there for my friends online. And because I felt very scared, I got into a situation where because so many things had happened, I felt very alone and I pushed people away. And that, of course, made me feel even more alone to the point where I would end up starting to have obsessive thoughts just go through my head. Mm-hmm. And it then started, you know, I was putting so much pressure on myself to make this work and make that work and make, you know, and all the responsibility was on me. I wasn't sharing it with anybody. It was, This is do or die, and I'm failing and I'm failing and I'm failing. And then I like basically threw my hands up and said, I don't know what to do anymore. And so I decided not to do anything. Mm-hmm. And it made it even darker, because with my obsessive thinking that I had, it was thinking about more my mortality. Like you said, I stopped thinking about what things I have overcame in my life, and I know I've overcome a lot of my life, a lot of it through your help, of course. And it was, you know, I got to a place where I was like living like way up on the mountains and everything. And it was a beautiful place. And then to just fall so hard and so fast. Mm-hmm. And I felt very broken, and I started losing my self-worth. That was the first thing to really.
Well, I think without naming names, I'm not going to go into all that, but let's talk about the fact that, because I think it's important that people understand that sometimes when you get pushed mm-hmm. off that mountain,
yeah,
you forget that you have a parachute.
Yeah.
And all you're experiencing is the fall. I mean, because you're going through the hurt. Mm-hmm. And you're also going through the shock of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's...
I didn't know which side was up at that point. Like, mm-hmm. it was, I didn't know...
Well, yeah.
I didn't know outside of me. I didn't know anymore who I could trust, who... And which caused me to lose trust in myself. It was to the point where... It's just the part where you realize what was really going on was at the time. And I've, you know, looking back, like, I know that this has happened so many times in my life where, I would start to find my voice and figure out who I was. And then whether, you know, it's a single individual, whether it's society, whatever, what have you, pressures of life and all the good things, I felt shut up. I felt like I was being muted. It was interesting because I had a conversation with my husband because I love Disney. I love Disney. And everybody's, oh, who's your Disney princess? And mine is Ariel. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Little Mermaid. There's a Little Mermaid right there.
Oh.
I love dolphins. I love mermaids, all the things. But people ask me, why is it Ariel that resonates so much with me? It's because of, you know, her voice was stolen. And I can relate to that. And also, she had Prince Eric. Well, my husband's name is Eric. I have very orange hair and I have pink. But it's that part where when you feel like you lose, for me at least, it was when I felt like I lost my voice, when I kept being muted, I lost myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how to get it back again.
Right.
And I just kept falling deeper and deeper and deeper into that darkness where it was like, okay, maybe I am supposed to shut up. Maybe I am supposed to not say anything. You know, mm-hmm. I started believing all the bull crap that my, you know, negative self was telling myself. And thankfully you had the rope. when I saw it was like, yes, I'm grabbing on. Good.
Well, I had gone through something similar as well. I think the thing that really kind of rescued me from all of that was kind of remembering who I was. And when you're in the middle of falling, you're not thinking, oh, I have wings, or, oh, in my back pocket, I have a parachute. Oh, you know, you're just thinking fall, because you go into panic survival mode and you don't necessarily realize that there are wings there, you know,
mm-hmm.
And because you're scared, you know, you just kind of like start falling. And for me, the biggest lesson that I had to learn through this whole thing was that I don't need anyone to empower me, that I can empower myself. And this is why I wanted to do this podcast, was because it's so important that people stop depending on other people to create their value. Yeah. That you have to create your own value. When you empower yourself, that's when the miracles start happening.
Oh, absolutely. Because even that day, like you said, when, you know, and I laugh and I giggle about the day you clapped at me, but it was a huge wake-up call. Because then you also told me, you're like, okay, now you need to remember who the hell you are. And when I sat down to actually do the work of, you know, well, who am I, right? It was such an eye-opener, because mm-hmm. it was taking back, you know, because I was somebody who, and probably since I was little, I'd always, if I accomplished something, mm-hmm. I always gave credit to other people. Mm-hmm. It wasn't because of me, it was because that person and that person and that person,
right,
and that,
right.
All of that. And through doing the exercise that you had me do, it was, wait, I did that. I need to own that. Mm-hmm. And as I did that more and more, it really woke me up to, who the hell am I, right? And yeah. And how powerful I am, because we all of us want to make ourselves smaller. You know, when we have an accomplishment, for whatever reason, we do that. We're like, oh, it's not a big deal. But it is. And if we don't treat it like a big deal, then other people aren't going to treat it like a big deal.
You know what? That is such an amazing comment that you just said right there. Mm-hmm. You don't treat it like a big deal, nobody else will. I always go back to that analogy of dogs, you know, or wolves or any kind of pack animal. Okay. If there's a runt in the bunch, they're pretty mean to it. You know, they're beating up on it. They're biting it. Sometimes they even eat it, you know, right. It is nature's way of getting rid of the weak, I guess. Right. You know, if we do not believe in ourselves, if we don't empower ourselves, nobody else is going to believe us. And it's like the same thing with the animals, you know, if it's weak and it acts weak and it is weak, it's going to be destroyed. Okay. Right. And if you are a goldfish swimming in a shark's pond, you might as well get the hell out. But most of us, a lot of us will allow the bigger fish to chew on us and make us feel weak and vulnerable. That's a problem, you know? It's because they have a specific thing or way or belief or something like that. Like with me, it was the challenge between two, you know, powerful entities. And these two powerful entities disagreed on something, and literally my lifeline was cut off. And what that taught me was that I'm powerful on my own. I can stand on my own. I don't need somebody to, you know, push me up. Yeah. That I can do that myself. And that's where I had to, you know, with you, I had to remind you that all this that you've done in the past, how powerful you became and how strong and what a great leader you were and all these things, wasn't because of anybody else. It was because of you.
And to have given myself that credit was, it was freeing. Mm-hmm. You know, it was the part of what, you know, and it was very empowering at the same point, because it was like, it was taking something back that I had given away so freely. Mm-hmm. Right. And then to realize, wait, I'm the one who did the work. I'm the one who, you know, kept pushing myself, you know, and now I also know, like, I also know my limit as well for when I went through what I went through. It was, you know, really recognizing the part of not only setting boundaries, because I know you talk about setting boundaries all the time too, but it's also the part where we have to honor them, you know, and it's same with, like before, it's like if we set a boundary, how are we supposed to expect anybody else to respect that boundary if we're not doing it either? You know, if you can't just keep letting people stomp all over you and mute you and quiet you and make you feel smaller than you actually are, you know, and it's a part of when you start to take that back, it's like I envision like taking it back from people and shoving it in a little bag and like, this is my bag and it's only mine and you can't have it, you know. And it started getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and it wasn't heavy. It was almost as if I was filling this bag that became a balloon that lifted me up. Mm-hmm. And it was like, wait, and like you said, I did it on my own. And
you did. You did. You just needed to be reminded.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
a miracle.
my teacher, so I have a proctor/teacher, and he basically had to kind of like, where's this coming from? You know, like, let's unpack that. I suddenly forgot that I could manifest things, that I could bend the universe. I forgot that I was powerful enough. And suddenly I'm just like, did I lose my power? You know, I was like, what did I do to lose my power? Did God take it away? You know, it was like, what happened here?
Well, and you even, I remember that first conversation that we had as well. You made such a It was just a sentence, but it really did stick with me. It's like I was sleeping through life. Like when I was in that dark place, like literally every morning I was waking up with panic attack already. My anxiety, mm-hmm. I mean, I already have anxiety issues. And it was just so exasperated that that panic attack would last all day long. And it's like it helped me, like I couldn't breathe. I couldn't get up out of bed. I couldn't, you know, yes, I could get my kids to school, but I was very limited at what I allowed myself to do. And when you had mentioned, you know, girl, you've been sleeping, you've been like sleepwalking. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. Because I literally did, like, I got to a place where people there know me very much for being creative and always having all these ideas and everything going on. Da, 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 right. And I found myself in a place where it was shut off. Mm-hmm. It's like I flipped the switch and I turned it off. And then through our conversation of just you having that small little statement was like, wake up, mm-hmm. wake up. And it was almost like an alarm went off. And I finally did. I started waking up doing little things at first because I was not going to be able to do everything. There was no way. And it was step by step, you know. The first thing was, you know, hey, do something for you in the day. And even just washing my face and getting that routine down. And then you mentioned, hey, you've manifested a house before. Yeah.
Now, you manifested a pink kitchen. How do you manifest a pink kitchen of all things? Okay. Like nobody has pink kitchens, but you found one in the place that you lived. I mean, the whole nine yards.
It's 15 minutes away.
Mm-hmm, right. Exactly. You know, what I'm hearing from you is really something I think is important that we kind of like reemphasize here. And that is about sleeping and waking up.
Yeah.
There's this whole term, wake up, I'm awake, I'm woke, you know, saying that is like all over the internet. What happens is that when we go through a rhythm and we're just sort of rinse and repeat, and we go into, I can't, you have the power. Everyone has the power to be able to step outside of that rhythm, no matter how hard it is, and step into something else. And most people are too scared.
Mm-hmm.
They're too scared to take a risk. They're too afraid that they're going to shake the foundation. Well, yeah, you want to shake that foundation because all greatness comes from the unknown. It never comes from something you know, because if you knew it, you'd be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You know, and what I saw was this amazing, powerful, amazing woman, has accomplished so much that people love, that has a strong presence, that has a great following, and people need her, want her, love her, and she went to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. In a dream, you forget who you are, right?
Right.
You forget who you are. You forget that you have powers. You mm-hmm. forget that you're strong. You forget that you can do things. You're just sort of like stuck in this dream. And that's exactly where you were.
Yeah.
You were stuck in that dream, like that rhythm of just going through life. And that's why I was like, hey, wake up. Come on.
Yep.
Snap out of it. Because I know who you are. And this, whatever it was you falling into this haze.
Yep.
And that's not reality.
No. And you know, it was interesting too, as I was going through it, of course, mm-hmm. I hated it. Like I said, it was, if anybody asked me, like, what was the major feeling that I had across mm-hmm. the board, it was that petrification. Like, I was just always waiting for the next shoe to drop, because mm-hmm. I got into this place where it was like, okay, this failed and this failed and this failed. So something else is going to fail too. And in fact, I'm not even going to try because, you know what? It's just going to fail. And I'm not going to get blah, 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 right? And then as I started to wake up, it's been this piece of, no, you got to try. You got to like start stepping into it. And if you say you're going to do something, like actually do it, because that's where the confidence starts to come out again too. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, you know, that's interesting you said that, because if people say, I want confidence. I want confidence. I want confidence. Michelle, give me confidence. And I'm like, here's how you create confidence. You have to muster up enough courage and muster up that courage over and over and over again to do the thing. Yep. And you've got to do that over and over and over again until you become confident doing it.
Yep.
I mean, the very first time I ever went live on a video, I was a basket case. I was shaking my throat. I thought I was going to start crying, you know,
yep.
And it was hard. I mean, when you do something like that, you know, I mean, I remember the first time I did karaoke. One of my friends talked me into it and it felt so empowering, you know, doing it. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to do it by myself now. Okay. So I did it. And then I was like, oh my God, I love this. I want to do another song. You know, it's like, it took that courage of stepping forward and doing it anyway, regardless, because, you know, you're never going to get the confidence until you actually do it. It's like, if you shoot a basketball hoop, okay. You do it over and over and over again, you're going to get good at it. Mm-hmm. And confidence only comes from being good at something.
Mm-hmm. And you can even play that into manifestation too.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, I knew I had done it before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was the question for me, this, you know, as I was coming out, was the part of what is it that I wanted to manifest?
Mm-hmm.
And I found it really interesting. It was just, I wanted stability. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be able to feel like I had the ground under my feet. I wanted to be able to feel like I could breathe with ease again. So it's like, you don't have to have huge manifestation dreams. Of course, it turned into that now. But in the beginning, it was just like, what are those things that you need right now?
So somebody said, finally, an explanation to the feeling of just walking through or going through the motions of the day today and longing for and knowing there has to be more. Absolutely. This is absolutely the truth, you know? So let's talk about it. Let's talk about it from a spiritual perspective. Okay. What is our goal? What is the overall goal here? What do you think? What's the overall goal spiritually?
Spiritually,
mm.
To live as my higher self.
Mm.
That's what it is for me.
Yeah, to be connected to your higher self, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're connected to our higher self, what does that look like?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's very shiny and sparkly for me.
yeah. Well, man. You know, being connected to your higher self is this euphoric feeling of it's like empowerment and love and loving for self and loving for others and just being okay in that space. Mm-hmm. And realizing that because you have that connection, you know, you're literally like anchored into God. Okay. And so that power flows through you. Mm-hmm. And you become, you know, a person that's able to share that experience with other people, you know, you're able to basically dump a bunch of roses onto somebody and make them happy. It's like flowers.
Right.
You bring that empowerment back to that person, you know, and that's so basically just kind of giving you an overall like word for that is bringing light.
Yes.
To other people. You know, helping them awaken, because the biggest problem that we have is that we've been asleep too long. And when you're asleep, you forget your own personal empowerment. Your personal empowerment comes from God. And we have the ability to be able to make our lives as beautiful and as amazing as we want them to be. We have that power because we are, you know, breathing in and living essence of God in physical form.
Right.
And when we start to realize that when we allow that energy to flow through us, then what happens is that we start to make beautiful things happen in our life. And a lot of people that I've talked to, they have a lot of conflicts with other people. And I'm like, look, when you become the light, that won't happen as much. You know, I'm not saying that you'll never run into people that are problematic, because that will happen, because that's always that challenge that you've got to experience to overcome. But what will happen is that when you are the light, people are either going to transform sitting in your presence, or they're going to run like hell.
Yeah.
So like
you
when
wait
I
said, right there too.
Mm-hmm.
The part where you said allowing yourself.
Right. Right.
That's so big, because like even just like with me, it was that part where I turned myself off. Like I did that. I turned it off, and I wasn't allowing anything to come through the door anymore.
Well, think about it.
Okay.
When we are in that space, we're sort of like this, and we're looking down.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're sinking, and that feeling of sinking just starts happening. Sinking. And we're just like, you know, like we start feeling heavy, and we start feeling heaviness around us. That's darkness.
Yeah.
However, that light is still there. It's above us. Okay. And all we have to do is look up and allow it to come through. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when you allow it, like you said, you know, you have to allow it. You have to open up that channel and allow God to move through you. And when you do that, you start being empowered, because if you have God moving through you, you feel empowered.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, when I hear people say they have all these issues and then they're like, but I am the light, I am loving, and I am. And I'm like, okay, but you wouldn't be having these issues, because you would be like, oh, yeah, like you'd be like so consumed on the feeling that of that presence inside of you that you wouldn't be like feeling that way. And I'm not saying that you're a bad person or anything else, because I went through it. I forgot for a moment. You mm-hmm. forgot for a moment. I mean, when you get knocked off of that mountain really hard, and literally somebody takes a sledgehammer and throws you down and you're falling, the last thing you're going to think about is, oh, I have wings, you know?
Yeah.
And then
you go at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So somebody asked a question. How do we find that in for ourselves, instead of having the balloon deflated and lack of encouragement and light that we get from others? Okay, well, I kind of just explained it. I don't know if that answered it. How do you find that within ourselves? You have to look up, and you have to allow that to come in. I personally say prayer and meditation, and, you know, constantly allowing it to come through and stepping into things that make you feel good. So a lot of times when we're feeling down, we're just, you know, kind of doing this, and we're stepping into things that reinforce us feeling bad, like isolating ourselves, crying, going to bed, sleeping more, you know, watching sad movies, listening to sad songs, you know. Yeah.
I would even say too, like, look for the opportunities to test yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? Because like, I had said, you know, with me, it was learning how to allow myself to set boundaries with people. Like, what am I going to allow people? How am I going to allow people to talk to me? How am I going to talk to them? You know, even something as simple as that, where recently I had an experience where, you know, somebody reached out to me, and straight up, I felt triggered. I felt very on edge. I felt very it was not a good feeling. And before, I would just allow them to do mm-hmm. it. Like, mm-hmm. oh, well, I gotta be conscientious of her feelings. I don't want to hurt her feelings. And as I've been waking up this time around, I'm like, wait, that's mm-hmm. not okay for that person to have come and, you know, the way that it was done. And maybe it may have been, you know, purposeful, or maybe they didn't know, or whatever the case may be. But the bottom line is, I felt triggered. And the question was, how was I going to deal with it? It, to me, I looked at as a challenge that life and the universe was like, oh, so you said you're going to show up and you're going to be this badass self that you proclaim to be. Prove it. It was crazy, because it was like, and for a moment, like I said, it was, oh, well, what about her feelings? I'm like, whoa, wait, She didn't consider my feelings. She didn't think about how this would make me feel. So why the hell should I care? And it's not to be like tit for tat or anything, but in that moment, like where right before I sent the message, I did respond, but it was like, I was afraid, but then I let it go. And I was like, mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. And it brought that empowerment to me. That proved to me that I could empower myself by having that boundary, mm-hmm. respecting it, honoring it, and letting it go.
Well, a lot of times for me, I just go, they can't help themselves.
Yeah.
You know, right? They're asleep, you know, they're yeah. lost. They're, you know, they can't help themselves because they're locked in a rhythm. Mm-hmm. That's a pattern that they don't know how to get out of.
Yep.
And so this person also asked about this balloon being deflated from a lack of encouragement and light that they're getting from others. I'm going to address that because it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to be encouraged by others, then that's a problem, because that's going to be a life lesson for you for the rest of your life. Because until you encourage yourself and say, I can do this, and say, who cares what you think, then that's when things will start working for you, because you have to be your own light and you have to prove it. You have to be like the person that if somebody says you can't, that you go, oh, that just triggered me. I can now. You know, it's almost like you just made me have to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of, oh, you're right.
And you know who we have to do that with the most?
Ourselves.
We are our biggest. We always want, you know, we try to encourage others, but then we say, I can't and I won't and I'm not going to, right? But we never challenge ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Until, like you said, until, you know, and sometimes maybe it's just that part where somebody needs to nudge you. You know, I'm a very visual person. So when you're talking about people waking up, it's like I see this big, huge bed and we're all sleeping next to each other, all nice and cozy. And it's like you were behind me and you smacked me and you woke me up. And now it's my turn to smack the next person and say, OK, it's your time to wake up. And we're all waking up together. Right.
Yeah.
It's really powerful, but you also have to see, like for me, I also envision like everybody is born with like a matchstick in them, inside of them.
Yeah. There you go. So that's perfect. I love that.
It's a small little flame at first. It's just this mm-hmm. tiny little thing, but we all know how to build a fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we put a little kindling in there. Starts to sizzle. I love kindling, by the way. Like I love the sound of it. Just mm-hmm. pop, 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 pop. And then we start to add that wood in, mm-hmm. right? And those could be like things for, you know, maybe it's that I'm going to wash my face and take care of myself. And mm-hmm. then I'm going to do a little bit of meditation. And then, you know, journaling could be the, well, I'm going to put a nice good log on there to really start getting it up. And I mean, if we want to really have a really, really, what's going to be your gasoline?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, so that kind of goes into the thing about internal and external motivation.
Yeah.
And if you are dependent on external motivation, you're never going to get anywhere, because your boss is going to leave and get promoted or fired. You're going to end up in a different job with a different type of management. And all of those things are going to happen to you throughout your life, because ultimately, the universe is trying to test you. It's trying to teach you to be internally motivated. And what creates internal motivations is to follow your own personal desires and passions. If you want to do it, if you desire it, if you love it, then you need to move in that direction. And when I first started this, like 15, 18 years ago, I don't even know now. I stopped counting. It was a long time ago. Anyway, when I first started, I had lost my job. I just finished all my education, okay? And I was working like two or three extra jobs on top of my full-time job just to pay for the education, okay? And then when I finally finished, right about that time, I got laid off. And I had this monk teacher at the time, and he was like, well, the universe is saying it's time to go out there and find your people and start your business. And I was just like, oh, you know, kind of scared. And I remember my mom like what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I'm like, I'm going to create a business. She goes, what if it fails? And I was like, it can't fail. I don't have any other choice, you know? And I was literally like, I got a lot of kickback because a lot of people thought I was just nuts for starting a business without any clients, without any money backup, mm-hmm. without any kind of anything. I mean, I literally like went and got an office, set it up and started working on building a website and just started trying to figure out. I had no idea how to even run a business or how to get clients. Right. And I worked part-time for Estee Lauder. And when I started getting clients, I remember coming out because I had to move in with my mom at the time. And my mom would say, where are you going? You're not dressed. And I'm like, I am dressed. I'm going to work. She goes, no, you're supposed to be wearing all black. You know, and I was like, no, I'm going to work. And she goes, they let you wear that? And I'm like, Mom, I'm going to my office. She goes, well, when are you going to actually go to work? And now she's got a whole new tune, you know, and that's interesting. And this kind of addresses the person that said this, because now all of a sudden it's like, Michelle's amazing. Michelle's awesome. Michelle's the bomb. Michelle has accomplished so much. She pushed through it all. She has done it. And that came from me pushing forward no matter what happened, no matter what the situation was. I just kept on pushing. I wasn't going to let somebody else, you know, do that to me. However, I got very empowered and very strong and very good at what I was doing. And somebody knocked me off that mountain. Okay. And I was sitting there like, my head spinning going, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I would, and so I just said, well, I just need to rest. I need to break. I need to go sit by myself. I need to go watch some Netflix, you know?
That's what happened with me. Yeah. I get that. Oh, for sure. Me and Netflix had a relationship like this. We were.
Right. But then when your savings starts draining and you're just like, okay, what next? Yeah. You know what? I have to do something. I had to remember. And so I had to sit there and have this conversation with myself. I didn't forget. You don't forget how to do this. You know how to do this. You know how to do this. And I had to constantly like remind myself. And I had to, sometimes, you know, it helps talking to somebody. I had somebody to talk to, and just that one conversation, just like, made me go, I'm a very powerful person. Why would I let this happen? But I honestly am kind of glad that I walked that space because I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself. I learned what my triggers were. I learned how to self-empower myself. I never, ever, ever will feel like as if I have to have somebody else to empower me.
Yeah.
You know, somebody else has to carry me up that mountain. No, I don't need to do that. I can do this by myself. Yeah. I have strong legs and I don't have to have everybody agreeing with me. There's going to be people. And this is part of the reason why I kind of like came out of the closet with all the spiritual stuff was because I don't have to cover that up anymore. There's no reason to do that. So if somebody doesn't like it, they just go somewhere else.
Yeah.
They don't have to listen. Nope. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They can go somewhere else. And to be honest, a lot of people really liked it and they wanted it. And it's almost like hungry dogs, you know, more, you know, and they love that.
For mine, it was, when I started, it's interesting because I like how, you were saying, you know, we have to internally motivate ourselves, right? It's mm-hmm. okay to be inspired from that, what we see around us, you know? And sometimes, like, our view has to change. Like, because maybe, I thought it was going to be like this, and this is how I wanted it to be. And like you said, like, when I had my fall to darkness, I hated going through it. But I, as I've been coming out, I've been finding appreciation for it. And that hit me like out of nowhere because I did not expect that because I was like, I just knew that I didn't want to ever feel that way ever again. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want that repetitive just day just happen. Right. Same thing, right. in and out, same thing. And once I actually found that place of gratitude for it, that is when I started realizing, oh, this is what I want in my life. This is what I don't want in my life. It's okay for me to be me and to determine what it is that how do I want to show up? Because there was even a space when I was working with you where it was like, yeah, well, this is what I want to do. And you're like, okay, well, you had me do the little exercise with the bubbles and everything. And it was so interesting because when you would ask me, like, what are you good at? I'm like, oh, crap. Like, there are so many things that I'm good at, but the stuff that really I nerd out on, like I geek out on some stuff, right? Whether it be mindset or techie stuff or, you know, teaching people something new, like about social media or marketing or, you know, because I've been an entrepreneur for over 10 years. A lot of people think, oh, she was just in network marketing. No. I built a freaking cleaning company with my husband. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was in network marketing. I did multiple things and I have all these degrees that have all focused on entrepreneurship. And it got to a point where I was like, you know what? Like as much as I was trying to push it away for certain reasons, I didn't want to embrace it. But then the moment I did, I was like, wait, I literally felt like, wait, this is my truest form.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoa. So, and I would even say too, so like, look at the stuff that you're trying to push away.
Mm-hmm.
Is it actually something that you need?
Well, why did you push it away? And that's the thing is, did you push it away because you thought you failed? Did you push it away because you thought that that doorway closed? Did you push it away because you were attaching pain to the thing you loved?
Yeah.
Okay. And you did all those things, right? All of them, right? You pushed it all away because of those things. Check, right? And mm-hmm. and that's where you've got to kind of like say to yourself, you know, I can still continue moving down, heading to Arkansas, you know, down this, but, you know, but I don't have to take that particular road to get there. You know, I can kind of, I can still color my hair, but it doesn't have to be blue. It can be pink, you know, whatever. And I don't think you've ever had blue hair, but I was just saying that as an analogy. And I think that that's what's important here is that we understand this is where I see people really, really fudge up. Okay. Is they start heading in this direction and they have blinders on them, what it's supposed to look like. If you just start walking in that direction, the universe is going to open up those possibilities. And we're like, oh no, it has to be like this, but it's showing. And I remember one time when I was really struggling and I just, all right, Lord, I start praying and the whole 9 yards and I meditate. Okay, I'm going to listen. What's the answer? And the thing I heard was when all the doors are shut, look for the secret windows. Mm-hmm. And what that means to me is that there's a lot of things, there's a lot of openings that we're not looking for that, you know, the universe is trying to say, here you go, here's the pathway, but we get so blinded and then we just stop. And then we, oh, it didn't work, you know?
Yep. And then that's the with expectations, right? So we set these expectations and it's supposed to end up like this. And then when it doesn't end up like that, then we're beating ourselves up all again. Mm-hmm. But if we are allow ourselves to be more open, like you're saying, it's that part of paying attention. Not even just being open, but actually paying attention to the way the universe is trying to, and God is trying to kind of tap at that window and say, hey, pardon me, do you see me? Do you hear me?
Uh-huh.
And it's interesting too, like, and I remember that you telling me this long time ago, is that when you ignore it, it's not that it goes away, it keeps coming back in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Until you finally pay attention, feel it, listen to it, and then do something with it and do something powerful. And I always say, you know, that's the wonderful thing. Like, as we learn, right? We're gaining all this knowledge from all these places. And it's that part of where, for me, it's really important that not only I learn it, not only do I take action with it, but I also then pass it along to people, because to me, you know, everybody always says, oh, knowledge is power. Yes, knowledge is absolutely power and it's powerful, but it's only powerful if you continue to pass it on to people. Because if you don't, to me, in my visual thing, it dies. It's like a plant where as you're sharing and as you're, you know.
Yeah, but there's also something else too. There's one little thing that you forgot to add on to it. It's knowledge is power, but you can have all the knowledge in the world. If you don't take action on it, it does you no good.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. So when it comes to that dark night, the main thing I can tell you is you really need to do some soul reflecting. You really need to say to yourself, have I experienced this before? Mm-hmm. If you have, then you need to say to yourself, what was the lesson? Because if you have experienced it before, if it's a reoccurring thing, this is a major lesson for you that you need to overcome. So if you can't figure it out, you call up somebody that can help you work through it. Okay. And overcome that problem and then start taking action in a different direction. Because as long as you're doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results. Okay. When you try to take away the idea of something's wrong with you and you step into this is happening for a reason. This is here to empower me, to help me grow so I can learn, so I can take that learning lesson and apply. Then that's when you start feeling empowered, because empowerment comes from, oh, I get it now. It's stepping outside of that dreamy state of rhythm and rinse and repeat and I can't, and the song that you tell yourself that plays over and over again. When you step outside of that and you start saying, okay, this is happening to me for a reason. This is happening because I'm supposed to learn something. And sometimes, plenty of times, I have said to myself, I don't know what I'm supposed to learn from this.
Amen. Oh yeah. And well, that's exactly the last time. Uh-huh. I was like, what fucking lesson is all, and what it was is, although, you know, for me, this last go around was, although I thought I had strong boundaries before, it was, I wasn't always honoring them. Mm-hmm. And now this is like a whole new thing for me where it's like, no, like I'm going to be unapologetically myself. Mm-hmm. Because I've always been apologizing for who I am and what I want. But, you know, the beautiful thing is that we're all put here for a variety of reasons. And you know, life is one big journey to figure out who it is, what it is.
It's a big video game is all it is. And if you can just imagine that you've got to figure this puzzle out and you walk through it like more as an investigator in your life. And then a collector, an investigator, a collector, and a traveler. You know, like just think of it from that angle. I'm an investigator, a collector, and a traveler. And if you're investigating everything that's happening in your life, if you're collecting good stuff that's going to aid in your travels, if you're traveling as you're moving and you're always moving forward, you're going to look in your pocket and you're going to say, okay, I collected this. I can use this now. Yep. You're also going to say, hey, I investigated this and I know what I should or shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. And if you can just kind of walk through life like that, I'm an investigator, a collector, and a traveler. You're going to find that it's so much easier to move through this and say, okay, this is a game in front of me that I have to figure out.
Yeah.
And most of us go into the lack of self-empowerment, self-sabotage, lack of self-worth, lack of confidence. And we just kind of like curl up like this and nothing happens. You can't move forward in that space. And so I heard this, this saying that I thought was really cool. Apparently there's this little cartoon that's out called the horse, the rabbit, and a something. I don't know. The mole, the horse, and the rabbit or something like that. It's about this little boy. Yeah. It's about this little boy who's traveling with this horse and this mole, and it starts getting really foggy outside, and they're just talking through this whole little story. And the little boy says to the horse, "I can't see anything. I'm feeling so overwhelmed. I don't know where to go." And the horse said, "Well, can you see your feet?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Can you step one step at a time?" And he said, "Yeah." He goes, "All right, then." And literally that was so powerful. It's such a simple lesson. It's just most of the time we get so overwhelmed with things we want to do or want to create or want to be. And it's like this big picture. And really the only thing that you need to be doing is maybe kind of jot it all out about everything that you want to accomplish and how you want to get there. But the only thing you should be focusing on is that first step. What can I do right now? What can I do right now in this very moment right now? So if you have trauma in your family, somebody who's abusing you, somebody who treats you like shit, or somebody's talking down to you, somebody who's not supporting you, what can you do right now about that? And don't think about it in the long run. And I'm bringing this up because a couple of people have talked about these things. Yeah, mm-hmm. About people hurting them and not supporting them and, you know, that kind of stuff. So the problem is not everybody understands. Nobody supported me when I wanted to start this business. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people who do something similar to what I do now. But when I first started, nobody was doing it. I mean, the only people that you even heard of was just a few, like Tony Robbins and Wayne Dyer, you know?
Right.
That was anywhere remotely close to what I do. And so everybody just thought I was nuts. I remember going on a date with this guy who said, "And you're going to make a living at this?" Yeah. You know, like, it was like nobody trusted me or believed in me. And I didn't care because I was like, you know what? I'm going to prove to all you guys. And one day you're going to be like, "Oh yeah, I knew her," you know?
Oh, well. Even when I decided to become an entrepreneur, people were like, "Oh, you're crazy. That's nutty." Because you know what it is? It's you're stepping out of line. Because especially women.
You're not a sheep.
Right? Women, you were supposed to be fragile. You were supposed to be this. You were supposed to be nurturing. There's all these expectations of what us women are supposed to be. And when you decide mm-hmm. that you're going to step out of line and you're going to do it your way, oh my God. Right. But it can also be empowering in that. And it's interesting because I had actually jotted down a little thing about that where, you know, I was just proclaiming where, no longer am I going to stay in my lane or step in line. I'm going to do it my way, you know, and to proclaim that and put it out there is it's exciting. But I also know that, you know, like you said before, it's like it's going to be a piece of there's going to be action that needs to be involved.
There's action.
And the universe is going to test me. And I mm-hmm. truly believe that we get these micro tests from the universe mm-hmm. just to see, like, how much do you believe that? Right? Like,
yeah.
And if you truly do believe in it, in yourself and in this thing that you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, being an entrepreneur or whatever that big goal is, I'm going to do this thing. Well, life and the universe are going to say, is it really true? And based on your actions, the next thing is going to open up and it might be, it's mm-hmm. just going to build on. And that's like mm-hmm. you said before, it's
right.
That's where a lot of the empowerment comes from.
Well, and if it's the first time, there's something that I learned. So one of my teachers told me when I went through this, because it took me like 6 months or so to really get past it, redefine things a little differently. Not that I stopped. I didn't. I just kept on running and kept on going and kept on going. But it took me a lot to say, okay, here's what I'm going to do now, you know, and like kind of figure it all out. But it took me because this hit me pretty hard. Okay. So when the first time I went to my teacher, and I spoke to her and said, okay, so this was really pretty challenging. Most of the time it takes me 24 hours to get over something. Okay. I usually have a rule. I can suffer for 24 hours and then I let it go. So I allow myself to feel the pain. And then I say, okay, I'm letting it go now. And this was like 6 months. And I said, I don't want to ever go through that again. What do I have to do to make that not happen? And she said, the best thing for you to do, because this was the first time. And she said, get ahead of it. She goes, understand the lessons, what you needed to learn from that, and start working on that within yourself. So I had to work on some of those things. And there was a lot in packed inside of this thing that happened. And so there was quite a few lessons, but it showed up again. And it took me 24 hours to get over it, because what I did was I had to kind of like, I just allowed myself to feel the hurt. And then I come back and said, okay, you know what, Michelle, you're a powerful woman who can stand 2 feet on the ground and it's okay. And there was abandonment issues that started showing up in some of this, you know, it's like somebody leaving you, you know, and it's like, you know what? Nobody's leaving you. Nobody's abandoning you. Nobody's taking your horse away. Nobody's taking, you know, your house isn't getting, you know, all these things that happened to me in my childhood that created these things of being taken away from me that was triggering me. Like, those friendships are still there. The love is still there. You are the one in control here right now. And so I looked at this and I said, okay, I love this person. I truly do. And it's okay for them to choose a different path. And so I was able to let go of that feeling, you know, that kind of jerked me for a second, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it did show up. It just showed up slightly different this time. And this time it was like, Michelle, are you going to hold on to love? Or are you going to hold on to rejection? And I chose love. You know, I chose that I love this person. I'm going to hold on to that and not let go. And this was a friendship, by the way. So there's that, you know, those kind of things can happen to us. And where we go with that is our choice. So I'm sure I'll be tested again. But the next time, I'm sure. I mean, like, I did 24 hours, but I'm hoping that the next time I'll be able to go, oh, wait, I see that coming.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to I'll catch it before it hits me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes when those new things come up, it's a little harder, you know, when it's happened over and over again, you can really see it, you know, like, okay, I see this happening. Okay. I need to reflect on this because this is a lesson here.
Mm-hmm.
And do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Because I mean, there's been times where, like, even for me, like, relate friendships and stuff like that, where, you know, I thought certain people were going to play a part in my life for, like, the rest of my life, right? And then to realize as I've grown, right? Because you don't stay the same as you grow. And the thing is with that growth comes evolutions of friendships and connections, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, it was getting to a place of being okay with letting certain relationships go and knowing that, you know, I didn't necessarily have a fault, you know, because, you know, when a relationship goes bust, right, it could be, oh, it's your fault. But it just happened, you know, and I kept thinking, oh, I've dealt with this and I let it go. And I was like, oh, crap, no, there's another part of it.
We need to kind of like step away from some of that kind of stuff. When those things happen and there's no control that you have over it, it's somebody else's choice to behave that way. That's their lesson to learn. And that was something that was kind of hard for me because I'm very giving. I put a lot out with my clients. I overcompensate. I do more than what they're probably paying for. And I'm always like there. If they text me, I respond. If they need me to call them, I call. I do extra stuff on the side, you know, and there's a lot that I put out into that. But if somebody cannot see that love that I put out, that means that there's not love within them to be able to see it.
Yeah.
And I've been in situations where somebody couldn't see it. Mm-hmm. And that expectation kept on growing and growing and getting higher. And I'm like, look, you know, you paid for this, and I'm giving you all this, and yet you're still feeling like I'm not meeting that expectation, you know? And so there's, that's only happened to me like once or twice. And but those kind of things can happen where people put such a high expectation. And that was like a really big lesson for me, is to learn how to create those boundaries, you know, to understand that if that person cannot see your value, that means that they cannot see the value within themselves, because people can only see within you what they see within themselves. Okay, so I'm going to make that very clear so that you guys can understand this, okay?
Except for those in the back.
Yeah, all those in the back, I want you to listen. People cannot see within you what is not within themselves. So if they do not have self-love, or they think they're a liar, or they think they're a cheat, or they know they're a cheater, like, that's a perfect example. Is men who cheat on women always accuse the women of cheating on them. It always happens. Yep. If somebody lies all the time, they're constantly thinking you're lying to them. Mm-hmm. If somebody is rude or hurtful or whatever, they always think somebody else is being that way to them. So it's like they're very reactive because it's what they see within themselves. So it's like everything looks like it's being mirrored to them. So that's the only way they can perceive things, is what they know. Just think of it as like a filter that they can only see through. Mm-hmm. They can only see through those lenses. Somebody said, I'm constantly saying I'm sorry. And if you're saying I'm sorry, then that means that other people are looking at you from a lens that they see within themselves. So don't apologize. You don't need to apologize for being awesome and amazing. All you need to do is acknowledge that this person hasn't elevated to the same space you have. And sometimes that requires some self-separation. Sometimes it requires trying to get that person in the same space as you. Sometimes that's helpful, like if it's a mate. That can be really challenging if it's a mate, we're not in the same, you know, place. But the thing is that it's usually everybody else. It's usually like family and friends and that kind of stuff. And sometimes you just need to just focus on your walk up those stairs, okay? And eventually it's like you're looking down instead of trying to connect. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there was a point where I used to think that, well, if I climb that mountain and I get all the way to the top, then I'm going to be by myself. And it's all lonely up here. But if you sit there long enough, you start to realize there's a lot of people up there. And it's a whole lot more fun to have people that empower you than it is to have people that knock you down because they can't see you for your own value.
And we get to choose who mm-hmm. we're on that freaking mountain with, you know? Yeah. I know with saying sorry, like, I know for me, I actually just had to be mindful about mm-hmm. when I was saying sorry. So, like, say it was, like, somebody texted me and I didn't get a chance to text them back, like, right away, right? Because mm-hmm. we all need... You know, we live in a world of gratification. And so then when we're not instant with people, then it's, oh, I'm so sorry, I was taking a shower. Pause for a moment, right? Because then it's like, why would I be sorry
for taking a shower?
Like, yeah. I am taking care of a fundamental need. Why am I sorry about that? Oh, wait, am I sorry because it took time? Well, no, because I enjoyed taking an hour long shower, maybe an hour, I don't know. So I started like catching myself. At first it was just being aware of how much I was saying it, because sometimes we don't realize the enormity of how much we say it. So mm-hmm. then I would like catch myself and I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, wait, no, just say, hey, I was in the shower, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was taking out the apology and mm-hmm. so, and really diving into like, just, oh, you don't need to be sorry for being you. Like you said, awesomeness, like own it and be okay. Like it is awesome to take a shower. Mm-hmm. It is awesome to start your own business. It is awesome to have dreams and hopes and aspirations and actually go for them. And that's what you gave me back too. And it's what you reminded me of that I had already within myself. Right. Yeah. See, even I still slip up and misword it, but hey, look, it was in me. We don't forget it. We just get disconnected from it. And it's that part of putting those pieces back together within ourselves to then show up.
Right. And that's where it kind of comes with, like, if I was like sitting, like trying to like be there, like connected to you and like, okay, I'm going to be on your level. Mm-hmm. Then I wouldn't have been able to see, you know, as well. And what I had to do was I had to like step up here and go, okay, Alicia, there is something right next to you. All you have to do is turn to the right. Something in your purse or something in your pocket. There's something, you know, in your DNA.
Well, that was the thing too that I learned from you too, was that part of get aligned with that higher self, because and I'll never forget, because you have a video on it. It's the part where with the magnets.
Oh, and yeah.
Yes. Right. So it's the part where if you're resisting it, it's just going to keep pushing away. But when you get your shit aligned,
starts like stacking up and things start showing up, right?
It feels good, and the more that you get on the line, and it's just a piece at a time.
Well, so let me just kind of like clarify something that I think people do not understand.
Yeah,
what is the name of that movie where they had these people, like their memories were erased, and they end up in this thing where I have all these walls and there's this hallway, like maze that they, what's it called? The maze or something like that. And they start going through this maze. And they didn't want to go through it because it kept on shuffling and they would get locked in. So what happens is these people, they had certain people that were assigned, and I think they called them runners or something like that. And they would run really fast as soon as, because the maze would open up. And then you only had a certain amount of time to discover where it was going to lead before it started shuffling. And if the walls moved, you could get locked in there and then you starve and have no food and all kinds of stuff. So kind of thinking about it from this perspective. Okay.
Maze runner.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's the name. Okay. So like, if you think about it from this way, this is life. Okay. And you're like, okay, you see it. You see this pathway. It's taken you a few times to figure out, but now you know how to get through that maze. But what the universe does is it moves the walls. And it says, okay, you mastered this. It's time for you now to go through and figure out a new maze. Yep. Okay. And eventually it'll bring you back and reopen the other one and say, hey, did you forget? And it's like, it's kind of like this game that you have to constantly feel like you have to master. And as long as you keep yourself in that state of saying, you know what, this is a game I have to master, and I'm not going to let other people and their delusions and their sleepiness stop me, because that's just sheep mentality. You know, they're just going to go, here's how we go. Yeah.
Drug in your drink to make you fall asleep. And that's the thing. That's the, oh my God. You remember? Oh, yeah. There's been so many times you and I will be having a conversation and like something hits me. And I'm like, oh, the sleepers want to get us to go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly. So we have to avoid them and say no. And be okay with letting those ones go. Ooh, that's big.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that.
And you just have to. You just have to understand that you can't be upset with them because they're asleep.
Yep.
You know, think of it like a remote control, you know, like you've got your remote control and you're like, when you are super empowered, you've got the remote control and you're watching and you're watching the game and you're over here watching every angle, you know, you're playing this, like watching everything, and you're, you know, when something comes at you, you're catching it, you know, and you're really good at it because you mastered it. Right.
Yeah,
but then all of a sudden you want to go get something to eat. You put your remote down because you're like, you know, my fingers are getting tired, whatever. And the other person in the game, you're tethered to. And so the person starts going over and wandering over here, and you get shot dead. And so all of a sudden you come back to the game and you're wounded and you're, you know, all, like you don't have any strength anymore. So you have to go back and you have to go to the healer for a while. Yeah. You have to refurbish your clothes and get new stuff and, you know, all these things. Right. And it's like, if you just think of life that way, you know, there's going to be times where you're just going to want to float. Okay. And you just want to get on that river and you're just going to want to float. But just remember, there's always a rapid ahead. Every single time. And you just make sure you have those rower oars, you know, that right there next to you. So that when you start hearing that, it's time to get up and start moving, you know. But if you set everything else.
Do it anyway.
Do it anyway, right? All right. So I think that we've been at this about an hour. So I just want to thank everybody who's attended and showed up and made lots of comments. And we really appreciate you and we love you. And thank you so much for all your questions and your comments and being here and, you know, participating in this live. This is a live podcast. The podcast is called Raising Your Consciousness. I really appreciate you guys showing up and getting to see us live and being part of all of this. We love you so much. I will be doing more of the live events like this, and I will be posting what the live event topic is going to be and that kind of stuff. And hopefully Alicia will come back and join us and we can talk about some other stuff. And maybe we'll have a bigger discussion on manifesting sometime. We can do that.
That would be so much fun. Oh my gosh, I would be so honored. Because I really like,
yeah,
you've taught me so much. And it's that every time I talk, even to like my husband about manifesting, because he teases me about it, right? He's like, oh, that's so silly. But then when he sees that it actually happens, he's like, okay, I'm going to shut up now. I'm like, yeah, see? Mm-hmm. And it's so powerful. And we really can create the life we choose.
Absolutely. Are you, you know Jennifer Skamonsky, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe we should just do like a threesome and get her on here because she's like a super powerful manifester as well.
Yeah.
I was like, have a girl's night.
She's from Ohio too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. She's awesome. Yeah. That'll be fun. All right. So I'm gonna talk to you guys later. It was awesome. I appreciate you guys coming. Make sure that you follow us on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and Facebook. I think we're on all the formats. Mm-hmm. You have a wonderful day, and we'll see you later.